All right, guys, we are back with another episode of Pound for Pound. I am the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman. And today, my co-host, Mr. Henry Cejudo, is stuck in Paris at the Olympics trying to get back. But I got a great replacement.
A Shot of Lime production.
A man has done everything there is to do in the sport of wrestling. As most of you might not know, I started in wrestling. And today we have a very distinguished guest. He's won just about everything at every level, from NCAA titles to high school titles to middle school titles to kids wrestling titles to Olympic titles and world championships. Allow me to introduce special guest, the Magic Man. I don't know if you still go by that, because now you're a big dog, you're head coach. The Magic Man, David Taylor, my man.
Good, how are you? Thank you. Thank you for the introduction. That was nice.
So we kind of missed each other just a little bit. You know, you were coming into to freestyle in the training center right when I was just phasing myself out. I was there for about 2 years, didn't spend too much time. And you came in guns blazing. I feel like that class of guys that came in, like yourself, Jordan Burroughs, Kyle Dake, you guys came in guns blazing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we definitely overlapped a little bit, because I spent a lot of time out there as a kid. You know, I would go out there. You know, now they have the development programs for these kids, you know, which is why our country does so well at the age group level. But back then, you know, it didn't exist. So I spent a lot of time out there. You know, I'd go out for a week of summer and stuff. So I was there. I was just a little fly on the wall, running around and trying to grab people and learn some wrestling and things like that. So, well, yeah, it's cool. I mean, I think that's how wrestling is. You know, it's just it's a tight circle. It's a small, you know, it's something where, you know, you run into everybody, you know, the relationships that you're going to have for a long time. You know, there might be different generation gaps, but you know, we're all doing the same thing on that same path.
Yeah. Where are you right now?
I'm in my office. You're at Oklahoma State.
You're in your office. Yep. Okay. So speaking of being in your office, you're supposed to be somewhere right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure the rest of the world feels exactly how I feel and how I felt watching it happen at the trials. You're the defending Olympic champion. And you're not at the Olympics right now. How does that feel for you?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, I think, you know, you've competed at a high level. You know, you've been competing at a high level for a long time. And the margin of error, you know, at that level was small. And, you know, on that day, it just wasn't the first time in a long time, you know, where I didn't perform very well in Olympic trials, you know. And something I look back on and replay in my head, but I think that a lot of it comes down to fire and drive. You know, in wrestling, there's you know, it's a fine line between, you know, being the best in your country, being the best in the world. You know, there's not a lot of things that separate that. Fire is probably the biggest one. And you know, I won the Olympics in Tokyo in 21. And, you know, as time went on, it got harder and harder to replay, you know, and recreate that fire, you know, that I had at that time, you know, that lifelong journey. And this year, you know, I have three kids and, you know, I had different irons in the fire. And I think just caught up to me, you know, kind of caught up to me at the trials. And, you know, I just didn't perform very well, you know, and that's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch all of the matches, obviously, because I just got so much going on in life nowadays, but I did see the news and I did go and replay and see that the final moments of that match, to where I was as shocked as anybody, because like you just mentioned, it's very rare to see David Taylor not compete his best. And you've been winning for a long, long time, as I just read off, all the way since you were a kid. You've been winning at the highest level. So to see something like that or hear about something like that, I was shocked. I was like, there's no way. okay, maybe there's going to be something's going to happen. Maybe there's going to be a bid. I was almost in disbelief. But I want you to talk about, because, you know, your opponent who you lost to in the trials wasn't a newbie. You know, he wasn't someone that was unfamiliar to you because, yes, you competed at Penn State University and you stuck around there and trained for your international career at Penn State University. So you've been wrestling him all of his career as a collegiate athlete, pretty much, it feels like. So how much do you think that played a part in him ultimately figuring out a way to go out there and get the win against the defending Olympic champion?
Yeah. You know, Aaron Brooks is a kid that's, you know, been super talented. I won my first world championship. I was 28 years old. And at that point, Aaron was a senior in high school, I think. Senior in high school. He was living at the training center at the time. And, you know, he was, you know, we were training with him and he was coming to Penn State. You know, like, man, this kid's pretty unique and pretty special. And, he went on to have success in the age group levels, you know, all the way through his career and, you know, just finished winning 4 national titles for Penn State. Aaron, I took as my training partner to the Olympics in 21 to Tokyo, you know, and I think in that process, the guy that I had to compete against in my career, you know, Hassan Yazdani from Iran, you know, we wrestled 6 times. You know, I have won every world or Olympic gold medal at 86 kilos since 2017, you know, between the two of us.
Wow.
So he was a guy that I had to prepare against. And in that process, you know, Aaron was a guy that had a lot of similar skill sets to Yazdani. And, you know, coming there, he was able to see the Olympics and be a part of that. And I was a partner in the Olympics in 2016 for Jaden Cox. So I think there's a lot of benefit to going as a training partner, you know, when you're a little bit younger in your career, because you get to see it. You get to see the Olympics. You get to see what goes into it. You get to train with guys when they're vulnerable and they're getting ready to compete at the highest level. And I think Aaron came back from that obviously focused, you know, knowing that, okay, well, you know, David's a guy I got to beat, you know, to be world or Olympic champion. And, you know, we're in the same room, you know, moving forward, same resources, same training situation, you know, I'm towards the tail end of my career and he's just getting started, you know? And I think, so there are definitely some of those factors that go into it, but at the end of the day, you know, it's just Aaron, he had a great tournament, you know, he overcame some adversity earlier in the tournament, you know, where he was losing and found a way to win. You know, and then in those finals matches, you know, the best 2 out of 3, you know, he had a very good game plan and he executed really well, you know. And I think as a competitor, you know, it's hard to, you know, be beat, you know, when you don't lose very often. You know, I hadn't lost since I lost one time since 2017 in the world finals of 2022. So I think that all those factors, you know, kind of come together. You know, you got a young kid, extremely hungry, full of fire, you know, believes he can do it. You know, and I just wasn't my best performance, you know. And you just in wrestling, you get that one time a year where you're at the trials and there aren't, you know, it's not like track and field where you get, you know, 3 guys, you know, if you got 3 best people in the world and they can all run against each other in the 100-meter finals, you know, in wrestling, you get 6 weight classes and you get 1 representative to go. You know, I just didn't get it done, you know, which is tough.
Like you mentioned, there's good things that come from that. That there's also the flip side of those things that come from that, which is, as you mentioned, Jaden Cox gave you an opportunity to bring you to the Olympics. And that gave you an opportunity to kind of see where you wanted to be, what you've been working for. And in most cases, that if you're determined and you're one of those special few, it lights a fire underneath you. So when you come back, it's a different focus. It's a different motivation and you run with it. And it looks like you 100% did that. And now you gave that same opportunity to Aaron Brooks. And it looks like he came back focused, sharp, and he was able to go grab that NCAA title again. And then able to, on the flip side, which it kind of worked the reverse, is you happen to be the guy that he had to get through, in order to continue on his journey and get to the Olympics and potentially be an Olympic champion. Now, obviously, I know that your room over there in the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club, that room is a special room because you guys have one of the greatest, if not the greatest, collegiate wrestler ever in American history, in Kale Sanderson. I mean, how do you think that philosophy, his philosophy, plays a part in getting you guys prepared for these type of situations to when you get out of college and you hit the ground running when it comes to the international scene?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, kind of in your era of wrestling, you know, USA Wrestling kind of went through a little bit of difficulty. You know, we were going to World Championships, we were going to Olympic Games, and we just weren't having the success as a country that we had been accustomed to having. You know, and there were some plans that were put in place. And the one thing was having establishing these Olympic regional training centers. So instead of, you know, centralized training in Colorado Springs where everybody lives and trains there, you know, it got spread out across the country, you know, and these Olympic regional training centers started to develop. You know, I graduated high school in 2009 and, you know, went to Penn State. And that was the beginning of the RTC era, you know, where guys started to train regionally. And so I graduated Penn State. And then joined the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club. And at the time, Nittany Lion Wrestling Club was just getting started. You know, we had a few athletes that had, that were training there, that were really good. You know, Teon Ware, Les Sigmund, Jake Warner, Franklin Gomez, Jaime Espinal, you know, and they were good. They were good partners for us in college. And they were, in 2012, Jaime was a silver medalist and Jake was a gold, Olympic gold medalist that year. You know, so, and then, so it kind of showed like, all right, this is a good resource to the college team, but also it's, these guys are kind of paving the path for, as we get done, we can jump in there and be a part of that success. And, you know, I graduated and jumped into Nittany Lion Wrestling Club, and it was a big reason that, you know, I was able to have success and prolonged my career, way to support my family and train. And, but you know, when you train for a long time, you know, I graduated in 2015, you know, 9 years after graduating, you know, you start the next generation of guys that come through, you know, and so now Penn State during that period of time, and, you know, I've been very successful. And, you know, with all those guys, those talented guys, they stuck around as part of the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club. So this year, you know, the Olympic trials, you know, they have five Nittany Lion Wrestling Club wrestlers wrestling in the Olympics, you know, all training in the same room together. We had multiple weight classes where, you know, you had multiple guys in the same weight, but wrestling each other in the finals. So I think it's you know, you look back and, you know, the success that was created was because of that competitiveness in the room. And, you know, Coach Kale and staff had, you know, they did a good job developing talent over a long period of time. And, towards the end, you know, you also then had really high level talent, you know, Kyle Snyder and Kyle Dake and Thomas Gilman that trained elsewhere that also came in. So you had, you know, the guys that were graduating sticking around, and you had people seeking out the best and trying to be a part of that. So yeah, and it kind of came to all in this trials. You know, obviously, it was very competitive, really centralized amongst the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club. But you know, I think as time comes on, and timing is everything. You know, the Oklahoma State wrestling job is a premier job in wrestling. It's, you know, it's a tradition. They've won 34 national titles. John Smith, who was 6-time world champion, 2-time Olympic gold medalist, you know, a guy that, you know, we looked up to.
Wait. Don't run off the stats yet, because that's very important. I want us to go through that stats, because this is obviously very, very important. It's one of those major things where you're at in life right now. I want to finish off from this. Have you been watching the Olympics?
Yeah, I've been watching.
How are they doing?
We have a finalist, Amanda Lohr. She's 20 years old. She's in the finals. She'll be wrestling actually this afternoon. Right. Then Sarah Hildebrand was in the semis. Her biggest competitor, Yuri Suzuki, who's been a monster. She hasn't lost an international match in her career. She lost first round. So Sarah Hildebrand, wow. She has the girl, I believe, from Mongolia that beat her last year of the World Championships, but she's beaten before. So, I mean, if she wins, she's got a great chance to be an Olympic gold medalist here. So we're off to a really good start right now.
I mean, how are you expecting Team USA to do? I mean, because there's a lot of young talent in there.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're a gold medal threat at all six men's freestyle weight classes. You just got to go out and perform well, you know. But I think that, you know, a medal at every single weight class, you know, I think is would be the standard for the team. I would say, you know, it's a time in history where six gold medals is it's a feasible task. We have a couple tough semifinal draws, you know, quarterfinal draws, where that's kind of like the Olympic gold medal match based on the way the seeds are at. So some of the guys are going to be ready earlier, you know, some of them a little later. But you know, overall, I think the expectation is six gold medals. You know, I think that's where that's a skill set. That's the expectation right now. And speaks to the depth of the United States and just their preparation. So, I mean, looking forward to watch them wrestle.
Absolutely. I feel the exact same way, because like you mentioned earlier, I was on the tail end of that, the dissolution of just basically everyone in a centralized location to train for these Olympics or the World Championships. You know, so I was in that process of Zeke Jones phasing out and Bill Zadek coming into his own and all these different regional training centers popping up everywhere. And I mean, it's been a fantastic thing, because you look at the results of what the U.S. were like, of what the U.S. is getting right now, as opposed to where we were at, to where it was struggling to kind of get on the podium at each weight class. Of course, we've always had those studs here and there, but struggling to get on the podium. And it's difficult to live at the training center. It's difficult. Because, and I know this, to be behind the walls of the OTC, like we call it, it's difficult to live like that year round, day in and day out, especially when you come from a community like the college scene, where you're in your own house, in your own bed, and you're able to go train, and you're motivated by being able to see your friends and see everyone and still go and compete. That's a very difficult task, to just leave all of that and be stuck behind the walls of the OTCE and have to go compete internationally and win an Olympic medal.
Yeah.
How were you able to, I mean, what was it for you as far as being at your regional training center as opposed to potentially becoming an Olympic training center resident?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't really, I mean, just because of the line, the formula that was in place, you know, just men's freestyle, we just didn't have people that were training at the training center anymore. You know, it was regionally focused. And it was a model that was successful. You know, men's freestyle won the team championship in 2017 in Paris, and then we've won 2022 and 2023 team titles. So going into Paris. So, I mean, it's a model that's working. You know, guys are training. It's a big attribute to the college programs. You know, it's a long-term plan for athletes that are, you know, have that aspiration, you know, of being the best in the world. And what's really cool is in my era, you know, I was watching people do it. But now these kids are watching a lot of people do it. I mean, we're winning, you know, we're in the finals of half the weight classes, you know, we have a chance to win six Olympic gold medals. So it's, you know, I remember as a kid looking at the Olympics and, you know, you have a one gold medal match, you know, some years no gold medal matches, you know, and then now these kids potentially watch six guys they looked up to watching wrestling and achieving their dream. So, yeah, I mean, I think the model has been successful. There's been a lot of development and emphasis, you know, into the teams and starting at the age group level and working all the way up. So it's the golden era of USA Wrestling. You know, we were very successful, you know, in the 80s and the 90s. And I think in the 2000s, you know, we were down a little bit, but, you know, 2016, 20, 24, LA in 28. I mean, we're talking about, some like historic teams. So it was fun to be a part of that, you know, and it's fun to, have contributed to that. And, it's a good time. So hopefully everybody's watching.
What you just mentioned, representation is big. And kind of in my era, when you're watching and there's not a guy representing the country from your weight class, it kind of gives you this sense of, is it possible? Of course you want to be a champion. Of course you think you can get there, but representation is important. And I think that's what, you know, your era, guys like yourself has proven and shown, because now you've got the young gun, Aaron Brooks, in your position going out to chase the Olympic medals. So I completely agree with you. I think the formula is working. We are threatened every weight class right now. And I think it's only something that's just going to continue to just fuel American wrestlers. And you're right. I think 2028, potentially, we might be looking at, you know, maybe not at this point, then you go to not losing a match.
Well, it's possible in this Olympics, you know. You know, it's, you know, obviously we'll really? See. I mean, I think, you know, it's one of those things you throw around, but, you know, six gold medals, six weight classes, it's possible. You know, and it's just the standard. It's just like anything else. You know, it's like an MMA and fighting, right? You go out and win, and you set the standard. You know, and then that's just like what people are aspiring to. You know, it's just like in wrestling. Right. It's like as we do better and better, then, you know, just being Olympian at one time was like, man, this is a great life success. You know, or being Olympic medalist, it was a great. Now it's just like everyone's aspiration is gold. You know, you go make a world team, right. It's winning. You know, it's not like you walk home with a medal and you're like disappointed. You know, you walk home and you got nine medalists and you're the only one that didn't medal. You're like, shoot, I was good enough. I just didn't have it that day, you know? So I think it's pretty wild. You know, that's just the expectation of, you know, being a USA wrestler right now. You go and you're the country favored to win almost every single weight class. If not, if you're not favored, you know, you're definitely right there. It's just fun. It's a fun time. You know, it's just, we all get in the sport to succeed at the highest level, and we're doing that, you know, really well right now.
And like you mentioned, you know, winning becomes a part of that. It becomes a part of you, and it's the expectation. But as a champion, you understand that there's no such thing as losing. It's winning and learning. And part of that learning process is understanding when my new journey begins, when I don't win. And for you, not winning the Olympic trials and not representing us at these Olympics, you got something that's even more remarkable. Being able to step into a job as historic, as prestigious as the Oklahoma State wrestling head coach. I mean, how is that for you? What happened? Was this something that's was on the radar that you were working on in the back before heading into those Olympic team trials?
No, I wasn't. You know, I was focused on training. I was focused on competing. You know, I'd have every intention to go and, you know, represent the United States this year. But like I was alluded to earlier, you know, John Smith, you know, had this job for 33 years. So the big jobs in wrestling, you know, the college programs, like they're long tenured, you know. And you know, this is my entire life. I'm 33 years old. You know, my entire life, you know, John Smith has had this job. So, you know, he retired a couple weeks before the Olympic trials, and the job was unfilled. And, you know, after I lost at the trials, you know, you're going through those stages of, you know, you're grieving, you're trying to figure out what's next. You know, you're like, shoot, you know, like, it's not something I felt, you know, in a really long time. I'm very fortunate to compete at a high level for a really long time. And I got a call. I got a call from Oklahoma number, and, you know, I went to voicemail and I listened to it, and it was the athletic director. And I'm like, dang, this is when I told my wife, I'm like, hey, Oklahoma State just called and you're interested and you want to sit down for an interview. And my wife and I had talked about college wrestling coaching, but it's, you know, college wrestling coaching is not, you're not just coaching wrestling. You're CEO of a program. I mean, there's expectations. There's a lot of things that go outside. You know, it's not just coaching. If you want to just coach wrestling, you're a club coach or you're an assistant coach, but a head coach, there's a lot that goes into that. So I think prior to this job, it wasn't something that I was like really, desiring to go be a head coach. But I always said, man, there are a couple places that you have to think about. You know, because there are times that you can impact wrestling, you can impact individuals, you can change a sport of wrestling, you can really have, it can make a difference. you know, and Oklahoma State is one of those programs, you know. And so when they called, I'm like, all right, let's listen. I'm at a crossroads in my career. You know, let's see, you know, what does it look like? Do I coach? Do I continue to compete? Do I retire? Like, what do I do? Sat down and we left that interview, and they left very confident that I was their guy. And, you know, at that point, it's just, you know, I've been living in State College, you know, been part of the Penn State program for 15 years. And you got a lot of things there, you know, and, but the job was moving quickly, and, you know, had to make a decision and decided to take this job. And, very challenging because, you know, it's hard, you know, when you go from, you know, being at Penn State to taking the job at a program, you know, definitely very much a rival program, maybe not right now, but it's going to be one, you know, down the road. You know, you go from being like, you know, the guy that everyone loves to being, you know, guy that's gotta get out of town, you know, but it wasn't like that. I mean, Obviously it was pretty good, but there wasn't a lot of closure. That was the thing that was really hard. You know, I had these relationships for a long time and, you know, made the decision to take the job. I was on a plane down here for the press conference. You know, you don't even have time to get back to people or let people know, you know, cause the news was going quick, you know? So it was hard. You know, there's some things in there I wish I would have done a little different. I wish I would have communicated some things a little differently, but you know, I was like, I just lost. I was kind of in a, you know, emotional state a little bit there. You know, I see this great opportunity, you know, for my career and for wrestling, you know, in a different way. And, decided this was the best thing for me and my family, and took the job, you know, and I was down here right away. My family was still back in Pennsylvania for almost 2 months, which was really challenging. But, you know, now we've been here, you know, we've been here at the program. We've been getting a lot of progress done this year, and it's a big thing. You know, you go from training to coaching, very different mentalities. You're still competing at a high level. Obviously, competing every day. You know, we have a lot of ground to make up to be competitive at the level that the program's expectation is and what our expectation is, what the athlete's expectation is. But you're not competing yourself anymore. You know, so you're, you know, I'm in the room every day wrestling with the guys, and I think the benefit of us and a young staff is, you know, we can really show them at a high level, you know, what's it going to take to be the best, you know? And it's if you're beating us as coaches, then you're ready, you know? And I think there's no going to be what if, like, athletes that come to Oklahoma State, they're not going to wonder, man, am I good enough to be a national champion? Am I good enough to be a world champion? We're going to be able to help them, guide them, you know, on and off the mat, the mentality, the requirements, the training. So that part, I think, was what I looked at as a really fun opportunity. And, you know, been in this job a couple months, and it's been everything that I thought it would be. You know, it's very fulfilling seeing those kids and how they're getting better, and, you know, looking forward to this season getting started.
Now, you mentioned things were moving quickly. And of course, after suffering a loss like that, I'm sure that was hard to deal with, and you're going to be emotional. You're trying to figure out what's the next phase. And then this pops up, and like you mentioned, it's very quick, very quick. Things were moving quickly. How was that conversation with, I mean, essentially the man that came and sat in your living room and said that, hey, I want you to come wrestle for me. I don't know if Kale does that anymore, but I mean, essentially having a conversation with this man, how was that, that you are going to a rival school?
Yeah, it was, I mean, I think it's just you know, I obviously have the utmost respect for Coach Kale, and yeah, he impacted my life, right? He was the guy that I watched wrestle as a kid, and I'm like, I'm going to wrestle like that guy. You know, I want to wrestle for that guy. You know, and, you know, when you think about, you know, a career, you know, you really can't, if you're Coach Kale, right, you can't say, man, it was like the way you hope that it happens, right? The other coaches there, you know, Coach Casey and Cody, you know, Varner, and these guys had been a big part of my life and my career. You know, they were my mentors, my friends, you know, they were my coaches, you know, and the longer I was there, the more that, you know, you have a different approach on things. You know, I wasn't just an athlete towards the end, and I wasn't a coach, you know, I was kind of like in the middle, you know, and I was still training at a really high level. You know, it's hard to walk away because I was competing. You know, I just had my most dominant tournament of my life in 2023. You know, I teched and pinned my way through the tournament, world champion. So in a way I had one of the best tournaments I had had, but you know, the training leading up to it was definitely not, wasn't what it had been in the past, you know? And I think this year those things start to kind of catch up to you, you know? And so I think towards the end, if that's a conversation, it's like, you know, hey, I'm, you know, I'm not a coach here, you know, and I'm probably, there's really not room for me to be a coach. You know, and I don't want to train anymore, you know, and this job came available, you know, and I really need to think about it. And, you know, we talked about it and, you know, he didn't want me to go and you know, nobody did. Nobody wanted me to go. And it wasn't, and I wasn't looking to leave. I wasn't like I was actively looking to leave the program, you know, but you're trying to, you know, you're trying to see what's in the best for your family and your, for your career. And, you know, knowing this job was, you know, these jobs are, you know, these coaches stay, you know, these big programs for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. So if there was a time to really consider this job, it was now, you know, and my position was, you know, hey, if I decide to not take this job, then I'm going to go in a different path, you know, and I'm probably not coming back to college wrestling. You know, I was going to go do something else. And, but the more I thought about it, the more I was just like, man, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. You know, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. Like, and I just kept thinking like, man, I am so grateful that, I mean, Oklahoma State's a place that every candidate, it's a job that every single person in wrestling is like, that's a job that they want to have, you know? And, you know, it was a job that, I was just really excited about, you know, I was excited about the opportunity to take the job. So I think that was what it came down to. And I think it's hard. You know, you got to make it for the right reasons. And I think some people, you know, obviously were close to me, were just, you know, making sure like, hey, is it something you really want to do? Or is it just something you want to do right now? You know, and I'm like, no, this is something I want to do. You know, I think I was built to coach wrestling. I think I was built to make an impact on people. I did it the way I competed. The way I competed changed people's perspective of wrestling. It changed people's perspective on how to compete. You know, I competed very furious. I scored a lot of points. I made it very fun and exciting. And I think college wrestling needs that right now. You know, it needs more of that. And I hope to have that impact on people. And I think that was a leaving kind of conversation I had with the coaches. And I just said, hey, you know, I hope to have the impact on people that you guys have had on me. You know, you've changed my life, the way I think, you know, the way I compete, and super grateful for that. And I hope that this doesn't change, you know, our friendship and our relationship, you know, moving forward. It just creates a little more competition in the space, and, you know, we can go and make college wrestling pretty fun to watch. And, right. You know, ultimately just the decision that I made, and, you know, I'm just really excited. I enjoy coming to work every day, and it's a fun thing.
I can imagine growing up in Dallas, and obviously wrestling, which was a marquee sport in Texas. I knew all about the Texas-Oklahoma rivalry and just how deep and how rich the culture of wrestling is in the state of Oklahoma, especially these premier programs like Oklahoma State or the University of Oklahoma. So yes, 100%, I understand it. But take me through this timeline here, because this seemed that it happened very fast, to where I get text messages, because obviously I'm not in following wrestling day to day, but I still do get a message and an update from some of the greats, some of my guys before, like Daniel Cormier and Sean Bunch and Angel Escobedo and these guys. So I did get the update. Someone just got the new Oklahoma State job, and it's David Taylor. So take me through that timeline of just lost at the Olympic finals trial, and we're flying down to Stillwater for a press conference.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember exactly the days. So they called me, and it was a week from the time they called me to when they could come visit, right? Because they, the group that came and visited me, that was when they could come. So that part was challenging because as soon as I got contacted, you know, I told, you know, my inner circle of people, you know, the coaching staff that, hey, I've been reached out to, you know, I'm going to take the interview. I'm going to listen to what they have to say. And I had a very clear mind and perspective of like what I think was necessary. I didn't ever want to go to a program just to take a head coaching job, right? Just to be a head coach. That's not
right.
What I want to do. I want to go somewhere and win, you know? So I think this is a place that has won historically, has the ability to win. And, you know, I think I had some very clear perspective, you know, in the interview. But during that time, that was a hard week, you know, because I'm like in limbo, you know, like, well, are you right. In? Are you out? Are you taking the job? I'm like, I don't know. You know, I don't know. You know, I'm trying to be as upfront with you guys as I possibly can. But definitely something I'm interested in. I'm thinking about it. You know, there's some things that definitely need to happen for this to happen. It's not going to just, you know, but I'm, you know, right. It's not going to just happen. So we had the interview and it went really well. You know, they left pretty I think confident that I was their guy. And you know, then there was some back and forth, just the way that those things
negotiations.
And then I don't know, it was a couple of days later, you know, I think it was like 48 hours later, and I decided to take the job. And then, you know, the release goes out on their, you know, their social media. You know, but it was crazy. So in wrestling, you know, the last big major coaching change was when Kale Sanderson went from Iowa State to Penn State, you know, but that was before social media was a thing, you know? So this one, you know, people are tracking, like, so people were tracking the flight from Stillwater to State College because people had heard that I was going to take this interview. So people were documenting the flight landing and people were speculating if I was going to take the job or not. So there was a lot of, you know, chatter and excitement. And then I accepted the job and I was down at the press conference the next day.
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break from our interview with the amazing David Taylor to thank our sponsors and our partner, Underdog Fantasy Sports, for sponsoring the show. Their pick'em game lets you flex your fighter IQ by letting you choose higher or lower on a variety of fighter stats like significant strikes, knockout, and takedowns. And here are our picks for this weekend's UFC Fight Night, Taboria versus Spivak 2. Ride our picks or even mix it up between sports and players because Underdog has the selection for every major sports there is. And remember, guys, right now, all new users to Underdog will receive up to $250 in bonus cash and a pick'em special by using code P4P. That is pound for pound. Underdog is available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, Arizona, and Florida. Support the show and click the link down below in the description to get started. Thank you, Underdog Fantasy, for supporting the show. All right, David. Now, I mean, like you mentioned earlier, you were in this period of limbo to decide, were you taking the job? Because I can understand that is a very tough time to be, because I've had to make some decisions myself from wrestling or making a transition from wrestling out of wrestling. Now, for yourself and watching, I don't know how well you follow MMA or previous wrestlers from the sport of wrestling transition into MMA, but for you, watching, you know, wrestlers go into the sport of mixed martial arts, and you have an actual teammate, Bull Nickel, that has decided to make the switch into mixed martial arts. Was that ever something that you considered? Going MMA or was it something that was far off the radar?
No, I was definitely heavily considering it. You know, like I said, I think after that fulfillment in Tokyo, you know, you're just like kind of figuring out like, do I want to keep wrestling? If I do, you need to do it at a high level, or do I want to move on? So I dabbled a little bit. I went out to Factory X with Mark Montoya a couple of times.
Really?
Spent some time out there. Training and I really liked it. You know, I kind of at the time I had a plan. I'm like, I'm gonna train and I'm gonna, you know, when I am done wrestling, I'll make the transition to MMA, feeling that, you know, being older, like I didn't want to go through that long journey, that long process, and realize, right, like if I decide to do this, You know, it really is probably an expedited route. And if that's the case, you know, you're going to be, there's no easy, you know, like work into it. Like you got to be ready to go, you know? And I think when it kind of came down to it, I wasn't really prepared to start over in my career and take that longer route, you know, the developmental route and, you know, learn and get ring time. And so I follow pretty closely. I mean, I pretty much watch every single fight. Right. You know, I think it's super fun to watch and I decided that wasn't the path that I wanted to take, but I definitely considered it, you know, for sure.
That's so interesting. I always wondered that with some of you guys. So if you were going over to Factory X, did you get a chance to spar?
I did. I mean, I wasn't, obviously I didn't really know what I was doing, but, yeah, I did get a spar a little bit. I mean, they were nice to me. You know, they could have definitely beat me up a lot more than they did, but yeah, it was fun. I mean, we're getting punched in the face for the very first time. And I was like, you kind of get a little like exhilaration. You're like, whoa, this is kind of wild. Like, you know, it's like, this is kind of crazy, but yeah, it was fun. There was a lot of good people out there. It's a great gym. You know, they, still keep in touch with the guys there and, it was fun though.
Yeah. That's, you're absolutely right. It's a crazy transition to when you actually get in there and you spar for the first time and get hit because, you know, as much as tough and as hard as wrestling is, it's still kind of controlled in a certain sense to where you're not being punched, you're not being kicked, you're not being kneed in the head. So there's still an element of danger that's not there. But when you step inside a cage or you step inside a room and you're sparring, how was that? How is that feeling for you? Because it's like, I know how it felt for me. It's like, whoa, I feel naked here because I'm not protected in any way. I'm not controlled. In wrestling, we can't punch and we're punching here. How was that for you?
I think that's probably the best kind of like thing. You feel like vulnerable all the time, you know, because in wrestling, at the point where I was like, you're in control pretty much all the time. You know, you might get taken down, you know, but you're not, you know, it's like those other things, you know, and you're seeing all this new stuff that you've never seen before. You're getting your distractions. I mean, you're thinking about punches and you're getting kicked, you know, and all I'm thinking about is nice to get takedown, get on top, you know? So it's just, what I thought was really cool about it and what was exciting to me was it's just like, wow, this is a whole new sport that it kind of seems like there's endless evolution to it. You know, in wrestling, you get to a point where you pretty much do what you do. You know, there's only so many high crotches and single legs and double legs and ankle picks. There's not a lot of variation to it. You know, whereas there it's like, man, there are so much. The sport has evolved and it continues to evolve so much. And that was what to me, you know, being, you know, someone that I like to be challenged. I saw that challenge. It's like, that was what I left. I mean, like, it was like a kind of an awakening thing. Like before you, if you don't do it, if you don't spar or go and do that, it looks like, oh, there's punching each other, but there is so much movement and strategy and tactic. And, it was pretty incredible. I mean, MMA fighters are tough dudes and, but there's a lot of skill that I think goes underappreciated. You know, I think it's very, very technical sport.
Right. So since you're a fan of this sport, is there, who are your fighters that you've kind of kept your eyes on throughout this process? And who was your favorite fighter that you love to watch?
Oh man. Diego Lopez right now is my favorite fighter. I remember his first fight that he had with that Ivlov guy.
Ivlov, yes.
You know, he's like, oh my gosh, this guy's just a threat everywhere. And he hasn't stopped, you know, as like he's getting more, he keeps answering the bell and he's an exciting guy, you know, and I think is it's pretty wild, you know, think about how did this guy lose? Who was beating this guy earlier in his career, you know, and now he's on fire. And so he's really fun to watch right now. I mean, all the wrestlers, I mean, I root for all of you guys, you know, I think it's a brotherhood, you know, you go out there and you got a striker, you got a wrestler, you root for the wrestler, you know, and I think MMA is full of them now. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just like watching, you know, just like anyone else. I'm just a casual fan, you know, and I enjoy watching it.
Yeah. And obviously the progress of Bo Nickel and, are you following him and what, how do you feel about his progress right now, where he's at in the UFC in his career And do you feel like it need to be fast tracked, or do you need, you feel like he's at the right spot right now?
Well, yeah, and I think that's a good example. You know, I think they're doing it right with Bo. I think Bo's doing it right. I think it would be very easy to get lured into the excitement of just jumping into to more fights and bigger fights, you know. And I think there's an element of, I mean, Bo is a very, I mean, he's taking a professional approach, you know, and he's learning and he's taking his time, and it's going to pay off for him down the road, right? It's going to be the extra, you know, the ring time that he's getting and the experience, you know, I think is really valuable. So, but obviously he's a superstar, you know, he's got all the makings to be a superstar in the UFC. And I think, doing a good job of building him up. But I mean, I think he's kind of getting to the point where there's probably gonna be a step up in competition, I would imagine, you know, and there's a lot of guys in that middleweight division that are pretty tough. You know, he's the hot name. Everyone wants to call him out because they know that that's kind of be a stepping stone for him. So just being patient, you know, keeping his head and, you know, just taking it one fight at a time. I think that's just probably the best approach for him.
You're absolutely right. It's something that we've talked about time and time again. I think the UFC is doing a great job with him. And I think he's being smart as well, understanding that, hey, I don't need to just jump into that fight. Because like you mentioned, it's very easy now when you're exposed to the whole world. It's very easy to say, oh, I want that fight, I want the title too soon. And then you get in there and you meet a guy that can defend a shot and just a little more polished and seasoned with certain skills. And now you take a loss and that sets you back so far. So I completely agree with you. I think it's great what he's doing. I think it's smart for him too, because it's easy to get there, but it's harder to stay there. And that's something that obviously you've done for a long, long time. You've won at every level, and obviously college level. And to bring you back a little bit to college, your collegiate career, I don't know at this point, because I haven't been to state college. I don't know at this point, is Kale still getting in that room, putting shoes on and getting down on the mats with you guys? Because I know he does have a phenomenal staff. Is he still getting in there and wrestling with you guys?
Yeah, no, I mean, he looks forward to the wrestling, I would imagine, you know, still. I mean, he definitely does. I can tell you that for a fact. He looks forward to wrestling. And, you know, he just had that style that he could make wrestling just look easy and effortless.
Yeah.
You know, in a sport that's not easy, you know, he could do it. He did it when he competed. And, you know, I think that's what's given him longevity, you know, and still wrestling and being available. You know, I think that's one thing you definitely learn from being around that wrestling staff for a long time, is just that's the selfless approach as a coach, you know, like you're there to serve other people. I think that's what the staff has done better than any other staff, you know, over the last 15 years. And, you know, it's an approach that we have here now for sure. And understanding that, the importance of it, you know, just being available for your guys, you know, it's not about you anymore. It's about the guys. And, you know, that's what as great of a wrestler he was, and as great of a coach that he is, you know, he's done that at a really high level, you know, and I think that's something that definitely, you know, is gonna hopefully make me a good coach, is realizing, you know, like he did, you know, competing, but then being able to flip that switch and be able to help others the way that he helps people.
Right. Now, I love the competitiveness of this. And how often did you get to wrestle with him and against him in the room?
Quite a bit. You know, I wrestled him quite a bit. You know, Casey Cunningham was, you know, he was the guy that I spent a lot of time with, you know, just early in my career. You know, I came out of high school when I was really talented, you know, for sure, really talented. But I think my mental toughness standpoint was an area that I definitely could have improved in. Because things were relatively, you know, I wouldn't say they were easy, because I trained obviously really hard, but I wasn't really pushed to that level a lot. And when I first got there, that was an element that, you know, Coach Casey definitely took some pride in, you know, and like made me tough, you know. And I think, you know, and I think that was, we developed a really close relationship during that period of time, you know. And, you know, Kale had that style where, you know, he beat you because it was technique, and he roll you around and stuff, where, you know, Casey beat you, torture you, you know, you take you down. You don't give up one takedown, so the last takedown, you give up the whole practice, you know. So I think the balance of those two, I wrestled them a lot, long, you know, my entire career, you know, from start to finish, I wrestled them quite a bit.
I mean, it's, and I asked that because I did get an opportunity to wrestle Kale. I believe this was a year where he was coming back and trying to go get a medal for us. And it wasn't great. It wasn't great.
I've seen that video.
Yeah, of course. Everyone loves to pull it up because when they talk about wrestling, that video comes up. But yeah, it was exactly what you said. Of course, the mystique gets to you, you know, but it was, he beat you so easily on technique to where I'm okay. I need to get to the leg, get it to it hard and potentially run off and try to finish his shot. But then he just kind of snaps you down. It's not hard. And he kind of just, it's almost like he just whiffs you by, gets on you, just the trapped arm. He just kind of picked my body up, put me over the arm and then just rolled me. Match was over. I was like, wow. Yeah. Wow, that just happened. I felt so bad the rest of that day because I couldn't believe how easy that was for him. But he just had that style to where he made wrestling look easy and it made it look so fun. And we saw that in you guys and in the way that you were wrestling. And I would go, wow, that's just, he's making it look so easy to where he's not, you're not even straining. You're not fighting to try to grind this takedown out. It wasn't that grinding style. So I feel like he's instilled and implemented in some of you guys and all of the wrestlers that were fortunate enough to be around him and with him under his program, just a new way of wrestling as opposed to that old style of we got to grind everything out. We just got to get tough and grind it out. But it's a new style. And that's what I'm extremely excited about. And I can't wait to see how you're able to implement that in a program like Oklahoma State. Because for a while there, they were the new program that had the technique and the style with guys like Daniel Cormier and Chris Pendleton and Tion and all the and Tyrone Lewis and all these guys and the way that they wrestled to where now Penn State has kind of taken that lap. Now I'm extremely excited and I can't wait to see what you're able to do with that program. Before we go, one last question is, what do you think is the biggest thing that you've taken from Kale that you feel that you can implement in that Oklahoma State program to, in a very, very short time, make them extremely competitive?
I mean, you don't get to that level, you know, as a competitor or as a coach. You're something different, right? There's something unique and different about you. You know, it just is what it is, you know?
Right.
But I think it's the competitive nature that, you know, but also it's just everything truly is, it's just a game, right? It's a game, you know? And I think that was the way that I think Kale had a unique perspective on things that way. I was fortunate enough to, you know, have a similar perspective, you know? And it was about how many points can you score, you know? And, you know, I always held myself to a standard of like, man, 8 points was a major decision. I'm not stepping on this mat and scoring less than 8 points. Like that's the type of dominance that I expected of myself when I stepped out there and competed. And similar, that's how Kale was when he competed, you know? And I think having that competitive mentality, you know, kind of being able to stay innovative, you know, find ways to be innovative in a sport that, can be very, very, you know, every day is the same, very much can be that way.
Right.
So I think that's the biggest way. And if you think about the parallels, you know, when I went to Penn State, you know, Coach Kale and that staff, they were 33, 34, 35 years old. Our whole staff is 33, 34, 35 years old. You know, so I think it's just, you know, things go in cycles, you know,
right.
I think we're, you know, we're in the beginning of a new era of wrestling. You know, we're going to be able to wrestle guys and we have guys on our staff that can beat you down. We have guys on our staff that can, you know, roll around and make it look effortless. So the kids on our team and the future guys that are going to be Cowboys, they're going to get exposed to a lot of things. Similarly, how we were exposed to a lot of things over the last 15 years.
Right.
So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, just it's going to be an interesting competition, you know, of like how can they've been so successful for so long. You know, and you know, we're just getting started and it's going to be a fun competition, you know, internally amongst our teams and externally when we're competing against each other. You know, just looking forward to that. I think it's going to make college wrestling enjoyable. It's going to move the needle. It's going to make people excited to watch it.
Absolutely.
And it's just going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Who is on your staff? Because I know when you came in, did you basically just clean house and just bring in your whole team?
So Jimmy Kennedy is our associate head coach. Thomas Gilman is assistant coach. And then Tyler Caldwell, who's been here for the last 7 years, he's our assistant coach. And then Brian Pearsall was associate head coach at Penn. He's our recruiting coordinator. So we have a very, very seasoned staff. You know, obviously when you're new coach, you know, it's just, there's a lot of coaching. Wrestling is something that I know how to do. Wrestling, I know how to do that, you know, but having some assistance with all the other things that go into it, you know, obviously a supportive administration is important, but our staff is very well-rounded. But we're young, we're hungry, we're excited, and we're scrapping every day with the guys.
That's a phenomenal staff. And my man, TC, Tyler Caldwell, which most don't know, Tyler Caldwell was actually my roommate 1 year at the Olympic Training Center. So a guy that I came to know very well and like very well. So, you know, I'm definitely going to try to make that trip down to Stillwater and check you boys out once you guys have a duel, if schedule permits me to come down.
Anytime you want to come, you're welcome. Let me know. I'd love to have you.
For sure, I'll reach out. Now, last question for you. Now, that duel, you guys march over to State College with your team, and you were there to compete with them, but you're on the opposite side. Do you think you're going to get praises, or do you think you're going to get boos?
That's a good question. I'll probably get a mixture of both. But I think, you know, Penn State at the time was, you know, they were looking for, you know, looking for success, you know, and I was able to give them something to be excited about. And our team, you know, was able to give people something to be excited about. It created this monster, right? It's pretty awesome. You know, and I think similar down here, you know, I think it just feels so, so similar to what it was like there 15 years ago. And so, yeah, I'm sure when you go back there, there'll be people that are bitter and upset that I left. But also, I think deep down, there's a lot of people that, you know, obviously appreciated what I was able to do there. And but it's the nature of the beast, you know, like, you know, it just is, it is what it is. But yeah, we're looking forward to it. I think, you know, a duel between Oklahoma State and Penn State is something that needs to happen. You know, obviously scheduling permitting between the Big Ten, the Big 12, and what we need to do on the two premier conferences. But to have a non-conference duel like that standing every single year or something, I think would be pretty remarkable. You know, I think it's something that, like, people like yourself, you know, you wrestled, and it's one of those duels that you hear about it, you're going to put on your calendar, you're going to watch it, you know? And I think it's, you think about, the impact that it could have, it could be pretty special. So we just got to make it happen.
Absolutely. My man, you hit the nail on the head. It's one of those things like Kale marching back into, Ames, you know, knowing that, hey, I'm with a different team now. So it's special. It's one of those things that definitely has to happen. It's time. It's evolution. And you are the new guy to be able to step in and definitely carry on that torch as these superstar wrestlers going into a premier program to potentially carry them forward. My man, I can't wait to see what you do with this program. I can't wait to see what your team does. I'm excited. Again, in wrestling, obviously, it's been years since I really was buckled down and following. So I'm excited to see what the rivalries that come through this and what you guys do. Thank you so much for getting on here and speaking with us. Unfortunately, Triple C couldn't be with us. You know, Olympic champion who also went the other route and went to MMA. But, David, I appreciate you. You know, the Magic Man now taking on Stillwater and going to turn that program around. Man, it's a pleasure.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on.